I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL Show on KSL Sports. I'm Andy, that's Josh, that's Alex, and that's Isaac. What's up, guys? How are you guys doing?
She's so great.
How's it going? He's already yawning.
Yeah, he's yawning. He's done. We did a cool episode before this, so we're going to recap the results. Nice pose there, Josh.
Just getting comfortable.
Way to sit there. Nice shirt. Did you wear this shirt for the previous interview?
No, I just hadn't changed from work.
Nah, looks great.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Real Salt Lake's performance.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, did anyone expect any different?
Well, and no.
Did you?
No, because on our what's it called? Predictions or whatever, we both said it was going to be a loss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do have a quote-unquote good record in Seattle the last couple matches.
2 years.
But it's not to say they were good matches, right?
Right.
You know, Seattle seems to have found the Seattle way. We saw that with what they did against Colorado, who is still a bad team, right? We're 2 goals better than them. But, you know, I wasn't wholly impressed with what I saw in Vancouver, especially on the pit, on the turf pitch. And I didn't really expect anything different or better in Seattle, if I'm being completely honest. It's not to say we're going to have a bad year or anything like that, but I just did not expect a result for us. The one I'm really looking forward to is obviously the home opener to see how we perform at home. That's going to be the bigger tell, but just not surprised at our performance in Seattle. And honestly, seeing Julio, you know, in the lineup as the striker again, it's demoralizing, man.
No, and I think Saturday's game against this past Saturday's game against Seattle, I think it was more of a testament to where Seattle is out versus where we're at, because obviously we saw the same issues that we saw in Vancouver come up again in Seattle, and it's definitely like game two type, you know, issues. Seattle looks like they're a team that's already in mid-season form.
It makes no sense, but you're completely right. They look like they've been playing in CONCACAF.
Right.
It's like the opposite happened, right? In CONCACAF last year, when they should have been in quote-unquote mid-season form, they looked horrible in MLS play. But now that they're not, they look great. It's perplexing. But
yeah,
good for them.
Right. And it's we definitely know what we need to work on. And I believe a lot of our issues stem from that midfield. I don't know if it's different. Pablo expects them to do different things in the midfield this year compared to what last year. I don't know how much Ruiz's absence has to do with that. I don't know how much Jasper's absence had to do with that, but it's the same issues that we saw in Vancouver just continue to pop up against Seattle, and Seattle just picked it apart the entire game.
Absolutely. And again, you know, I'm not seeing, I don't want to start slander already, but I'm not seeing RSL make adjustments.
Right.
You know, throughout the entire match, it feels like we've picked our game plan and we're sticking through that game plan through hell or high water.
Yeah.
And that's concerning.
What else? What else did Real Salt Lake get wrong in Seattle? What do you think?
I think it's very apparent that Seattle uses the wings to attack a lot. That Rodon brother link up is phenomenal. Alex and Christian Rodon, they're two really, really good players. And I think I don't think we defended that wing as well as we probably should have. And I think that a lot has to do with throwing in Caldwell into that position because not that Caldwell had a bad game or anything, because I don't think he did that bad. But just the speed and the cover on that wing is kind of what got us. Both those crosses came in from Alex Roldan to set up the goals. And I think, I don't know, I just want to say in a position where Pablo Ruiz is probably there, has a little bit more speed, can probably close that flank down a little bit more. Maybe it's a different result. But at the same time, like, it's something that you knew was coming. It's something that you knew Christian and Alex Roldan were going to be there. But I don't feel like we really adjusted to that.
Or I don't know, maybe don't send both of your, you know, right and left back bombing down the field.
That entire match
for that, right? Like, again, adjustments. Sure, that might be the way you want to play, but sometimes you have to adjust to your opponent, especially on their home field.
And we came out swinging very well. I think the first, like, 10 minutes of the match, we came out on the front foot, and it seemed like we were going to have a good game. But then it's Seattle who made the adjustments that needed to be made. They adjusted to how RSL was playing, and then after that, RSL couldn't hit on the transition. They couldn't get out. It was just bombard after bombard of Seattle attacks, and we didn't really do anything to adjust to that.
Right, and again, just like in Vancouver, I feel like we have a hard time breaking from the pressure when we're under an attack like that, right? We have a hard time, you know, controlling the ball when we intercept a pass or a cross, and we can't seem to break free from that. It's like once we're under a press, we're stuck under that press until there's a foul or, you know, the ball goes out for a goal kick, etc.
Yeah, and that's a lot on the defensive end. And I think on the offensive end, we need to work a lot more in transitioning into from defense to attack. And I think we just didn't see enough balls get played to Savarino. We didn't see enough balls get played to Demir. That connection between the midfield and the forwards, going from defense to midfield to forward, it just isn't there right now.
So, hypothetical, Demir missed all of last year, right?
Yeah.
Are we struggling to adjust to life with Demir again?
I think so. I want to say that's what it is, because he was kind of just, Demir was super invisible the entire time. And I don't know if it's just the different cohesive in the midfield with him being there, having a different role than, say, Savarino had last year when he was playing that position. I think that might be it. I think they just need to get used to Ojeda. Like, let's say, for example, Ojeda having that 6 role, and then Ruiz having that 8 role, and then Demir having that 10 role, and just have that cohesiveness in the midfield, because right now it just seems very miscommunication.
Right.
Like, miscommunicated.
Good guys don't seem like to be where they don't seem to be where they need to be, right? Yeah. Like, yeah.
I think Ojeda is trying to free roam a little too much in trying to take that Pablo Ruiz does.
Right.
And I don't know if that's going to be the best position for him, because he's just seemed a little bit lost in that.
Sure. He needs to be the more defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
But until Ruiz comes back, right? Obviously, you're not going to have Caldwell be the offensive guy, right? Caldwell's going to sit back. But, we just need Ruiz back, and we need Loftus enough suspension.
Yeah. There's no connection right now between the midfield and the defense and the midfield and the forwards.
Well, it seems like this has been an issue for years.
So
anyway.
Yeah, so the first half, Seattle Sounders go up 1-0, 35th minute, header to Jordan Morris, which I absolutely hate.
Dude, homegrown
from hell.
You know what, Andy? I dislike him more than Wando.
Really?
Really?
I think I do. I don't know why.
That's so weird that you hate one of the highest goal scoring, or probably most goal scoring forward attackers ever in the league.
Because they all came against RSL, though.
Wando.
Because they all came against RSL.
Are you a Wondolowski fan, Alex?
I liked him.
I like him. I love him. You? Him. Do you like Wando?
I'm indifferent, honestly.
Okay.
He's all right.
All right. That's what someone who doesn't know Wondolowski would say. Yeah, I guess so. He's a good guy.
He was a good player, I guess.
He seemed like a nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Jordan Morris, 35th minute, just gets his head on it. And I hate that the goals come from Jordan Morris against Real Salt Lake, it seems like, frequently.
Well, and then on that goal, it just bad defending all around.
Yeah.
Just right in between two defenders, between Brody and Glad, like, no one's picking him up. And they're not marking anybody else.
Did you guys see the, who was it? Was it Matt Doyle that tweeted the video and said it was, like, beautiful soccer, the play leading up to it?
Mm-hmm.
I have to disagree, because it was like a deflection back out to the wing, and then it was a kick in. Like, it wasn't...
I think he was more talking about the, I don't know, 40 passes leading up to the goal.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's talking about that, but it's like, I mean, at some point, it was a deflection. But,
you know, it's national media, dude. They're going to ooze all over Seattle's LA's.
Ooze and ahs, yeah. 59th minute, so going into the second, we see Anderson Julio and Michael Chang be pulled off. And in substitution comes in Rubio Rubin and Carlos Gomez. Michael Chang, we still liking what we're seeing?
You know, I think with Gomez having more time in this one, I liked what we saw a lot more from him in this one compared to what we saw from him in Vancouver. I think the first 5, 10, 15 minutes he was on the field, like, it's still, he still needed time to adjust. He was still kind of running all over the place like he did in Vancouver. Looked a little bit lost. But then once he, like, really settled into the game, I think we got glimpses of what an exciting player he can be. He had, like, this... There's this really specific give-and-go that he had with Savarino that put him in on goal. Unfortunately, like, Seattle collapsed on him defensively, but it's still... It gives me hope, you know? It gives me hope to what he can be.
He's going to have himself a game on Saturday.
I hope so.
Unless it's snowing. That might freak him out, but yeah. He's going to have himself a game.
Well, and what's funny is and interesting is because you were talking about it, Josh, like the tactical changes or the calls on the substitutions, I saw a glimpse of Real Salt Lake where I was starting to get excited because you would see more attacking opportunities.
Sure.
Getting around that 70th minute, right? But then... In the 72nd minute, Scott Caldwell is pulled off, whatever. Demir Krylak gets pulled off, which I really felt like there was a goal in this one for him. And then you put in Diego Luna, which I agree with it, but I think the timing just wasn't the right time. But also, like, I know if they would have put him in, like, the 83rd, I'd be like, oh, you brought him in too late.
Right. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't, right?
And then the other one, Justin Muir, I just want to, you know, toss that in there, yeah. But... What were you guys' thoughts kind of on that early substitution? I would say 70 seconds, still pretty early. And like I said, the attack was feeling like there was an actual buildup, like kind of finding a groove, and then you pull a key piece, a key player, Demir.
It was weird to pull Demir in this one and not in Vancouver, right? That's what weirded me out. And when I talk about tactical, you know, adjustments, it's mainly the wingbacks getting overrun and not fixing that issue, right? And putting on more attacking players doesn't fix that issue, but we are also down goals, so it's fine. But maybe have, you know, Brody or Oviedo stay home a little more. I'm happy Luna gets minutes, right? There was some controversy from some Pablo comments, you know, about Luna and Rubin coming back. Didn't really warm anyone's heart, right? Didn't give anyone the fuzzies.
So do we think, let's be realistic. Real Salt Lake, do you think they just kind of went into this like, hey, we're going to lose this. We're going to go down.
This is absolutely a game where it was, you know, if we can get a point, dope, but dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those. There's a few of those every year.
Yeah.
If this game would have been 6 weeks from now, I would have fully anticipated like some heavy squad rotation.
Who went down? There was a team that went down. I think it was almost like 4-0 or 5-0. Do we remember the score lines? There was one team. I want to say it's like SKC went down.
No, that was 0-0.
Yeah, 0-0.
Colorado.
Oh, really? 0-0.
Yeah, it's a nice result for those two.
My bad. Let me go back and look.
An absolute crapid fest.
There was a team that kind of went in this and just kind of hunkered down. And, you know, I think they went down like 3 goals. It was like 3-0. And then they pulled off the attacking players and added more defense.
So like, it was us in the playoffs last year.
Pretty much. I mean, it's because at that point you got to start thinking about like goal differential and, you know, how could that affect you in the future, sure, if you go down 5-0, if there's teams pulling you?
Portland.
Was it Portland?
It was Portland. And then surprisingly enough, Portland almost came back.
Yeah,
even with all those defensive substitutions.
That's right, dude. Because I think LAFC got 3 up on them, and then they came back 3-2.
Yep.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So weird, man. It's LA, like they kind of bunkered in, and then they pulled goals out.
LAFC is going to be a weird team this year, at least until summer, because they're still very good, but they're nowhere near as deep as they were last year.
Definitely not. And we've kind of already seen it early on to start the. In their first game, where they started making adjustments, they started making the substitutions, and then all of a sudden Portland starts clawing back into it.
Yeah. New England, let's just go the score lines over the weekend. So Red Bulls Nashville tie 0-0. New England 3-0 on the Houston Dynamo. Dude, Houston
Dynamo's
is just
bad,
like
Houston's bro. Bad. They should just bad. Move that team.
And it's surprising because they've made so many good good signings on paper.
Yeah, but they hired Ben Olsen.
And that's exactly where I was going with that. Olsen, I don't think just Ben Olsen is an MLS level coach.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a goal from Barrero on New England, and then there's another goal by a player named Bird, which I think was I don't want to say his debut, but I think it was like his first goal probably for the Revs.
No Bobby Wood bangers.
I think did Bobby
actually,
Wood?
Actually, yeah, he did.
He did.
Yeah, he got a goal.
Nice God, little tapping.
Yeah, yep. he got the first goal.
Well, he's got two goals in two.
It's gonna be two out of his six until he pulls his hamstring seven times.
I don't know, man. You know, players you go and know. Perform. Orlando City, Cincinnati zeros. Atlanta United and Toronto FC 1-1 full time. I'm trying to remember the highlights from that.
Man, so MLS 360 this week was pretty boring.
It was. It did get boring towards the tail end of the matches. Columbus 2-0 on DC. I believe Lucas Alarayan got bangers. One back. Or two. Did he have a brace?
He had both, yeah. He got both, nice. And they were very nice goals.
Inter-Miami. Dude, this is surprising. Inter-Miami over Union?
Absolutely. And the crazy part about that game, too, was that Inter-Miami played a good game, which is something we don't see from Miami.
Did Union rest for CONCACAF?
No. No, Union was Union was pretty much full strength.
And I think, I don't know if this is correct, but they've got a new like French player on Inter-Miami, Quarantine Jean. Yeah. Quarantine Jean. He got the first goal for them. Inter-Miami, I mean, dude, you got to think like, you know, the Messi rumors always seem to kind of surface. And,
sure.
They're like always come back, and even though they've been shot down or whatever, but those are still in play. But I think that's a club, like a sleeper club, that eventually they're going to have like a clean
eventually,
roster.
Yeah, eventually like they'll be good. Roster. Once they get their own stadium, kind of settle in, they'll be something.
Well, then there's no more roster restraints on them because they only could do so much because they got in trouble. But now I think this year is the first year where they can really start to build because they don't have the league on them.
Yeah, we'll see. That club I think is forever going to be a head scratcher. I think they might always be like there and spending the money but never like getting across the line. I could see them being that club, right?
Yeah. Yep. Chicago versus NYCFC 1-1. Pereira. I feel like there's a stat behind it. I don't think it's that Pereira. I think there's a different Pereira that like got a scoring or no. I think someone in the league got 100 appearances over the weekend. I'm trying to think who
I got. I got one for you.
What's the stat?
So you know how RSL is 14 undefeated in season openers?
Yeah.
Colorado hasn't won or Colorado Chicago Fire haven't won in 14 years.
Woof.
Oof.
How about St. Louis, man?
Dude, St. Louis 3-1 scoreline over Charlotte FC.
So are we good or are we just having a good couple games? Like if you're a St. Louis fan, be weary, right? Like this is a great start, but probably pump the brakes on your MLS Cup dreams.
No, for sure. For sure. I don't think they're at that level yet. I think they still need to play obviously the LAFCs, the Seattles, and
but you know what always happens is like the
stop
debut
pass back goals.
But the debut year, I feel like debut year teams will get far, lose, and then they come back the second year and like we'll win a cup.
Just the last couple years they've had a couple strong openers, right? But I mean FC Cincinnati wasn't one, Inter Miami wasn't one. Charlotte wasn't one. So you're just thinking about LAFC here. And Atlanta. Those are only the two that kind of broke out early and stayed high. Everyone else still has their tribulations and
usually
trials.
The expansion teams, they don't do very well in the year, and let alone have 6 points to start the year.
Sure.
We're just in that sense, like, hey, congratulations, St. Louis, because I don't think anybody expected it.
They've built a decent roster, apparently, with a bunch of names no one's ever heard.
Yeah.
Good for them.
They might run away with it, dude. Who knows? Austin, Montreal, 1-0. But the biggest headline today, that time of recording, Tuesday, Austin FC, trashed.
Getting worked by Haitian club.
3-0.
To be fair, I think looking at the lineup, I think they went in with way too much confidence. They looked at this team, they're like, oh, it's just a throwaway team from Haiti. We're just going to go out there, hopefully walk out there with some kind of decent result to bring back to the second leg. But 3-0, dude.
That's bad, bro.
3-0. No Driussi, no stars in their lineup. I think they, like I said, I think they just walked in there with way too much confidence.
That'll get you.
I don't get it.
Dude. How embarrassing. Funny, if any clubs need to be humbled fan bases, I think Austin's Austin. Really, I mean, I like Austin, like that fan base. They're great, but also it's like chill, you know?
Right. You're still the new guys on the board.
You got Matthew McConaughey, just chill.
Which also kind of sucks now because on Saturday they're probably going to come full strength here.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They got something to prove now, huh?
Yeah.
FC Dallas versus Galaxy 3-1 over the Galaxy.
So
Jesus Ferreira with a brace. Too bad he couldn't do anything in the World Cup, bro. I was rooting for him.
You want to laugh at the power rankings, dude. LA Galaxy is sitting at near the bottom of the Western Conference, but still like number 11 in the power rankings.
To be fair, they've only had one game.
I don't care.
It's their first game.
I don't care.
However,
to be fair,
you're up 1-0 on the road in Dallas. And then you just absolutely get smacked by Jesus Ferreira.
You shouldn't be number 11.
Yeah, you shouldn't be 11.
Yeah.
Colorado. Oh, this makes me happy. Colorado and SKC 0-0. Take the tie.
Couldn't be any better scoreline for that game.
Colorado scored twice in that one.
Bro, you got to feel it for Kevincio, bro. Just this team is trash.
I mean,
Kevincio. How do you say his name?
I don't want to talk too much about that because we might be right there with him.
We might be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. San Jose over Vancouver, 2-1. Whatever. No one cares. And then, yeah, Seattle Sounders, dude, 2-0 over Real Salt Lake. And not to mention, by the way, a fan at the RS allegedly. Okay, we're just going to read the Facebook post that we tweeted. We literally just tweeted. We didn't say, hey, this didn't happen or it did happen. Yeah,
just spreading the word.
But why would you lie about this? Also, some trash takes from a lot of fans on the Sounder side, but let's just discuss it. If you're not in the loop, we shared a post on the RSL show, and it's a fan talking about their experience in Seattle and something that had happened. It sounds like it was on the way to the match or something. Okay, let's read it. So this fan wrote in a post on Facebook, wrote, so I just wanted to post this here as a warning to whoever is attending the Seattle game tonight. My husband and I were walking from the streetcar to the stadium with our Utah flag and became enveloped by the Supporters Club march. A man whom I regrettably did not take a picture of attacked my husband, saying that he needed to get rid of his Utah flag or he would assault him. He then grabbed my husband by the throat and choked him. This wasn't a casual, in quotes, I'm just playing, end quote, kind of choke. This was an I want to seriously injure you kind of choke, which went on for at least a minute. Another Sounders fan intervened and told us that the guy was just passionate and that we shouldn't have been interrupting their march. To be clear, we were just two people with a Utah flag, not shouting or chanting, just walking. To top it all off, our Utah flag was confiscated at the gate. So yeah, F Seattle, and I really hope someone faces some kind of consequence for this absolutely insane, unprovoked attack.
Yeah.
Now, hang on. Before you guys weigh in, for context, this post on Twitter has just, like, dude, I've been opening Twitter, and it's just nothing but just notifications. So far, 35,000 views on it, 145 likes, 19 quotes, 23 retweets. But also, a lot of like Sounders fans or people just kind of coming to, I guess, like in defense of their supporters, because they're like saying things like, well, you shouldn't be marching next to us, or you shouldn't be getting in our way, or other things like, show us the video proof. It's like the highly most video recorded photograph. Like, you got to have a photograph or a video, like, you're full of crap, basically. And I don't know. That just doesn't suit well with me.
You know, for being as, like, as progressive of a fan base as Seattle claims, they sure are using a lot of, like, old excuse type things that...
Where's the video?
Right. Proof or didn't happen, right?
Yeah.
And like for me,
why would
this kind of stuff happens all over, right? Like, A, you have to admit that. I've seen it happen here. I've had knives pulled me in San Jose and Colorado, right? Like, this happens everywhere. But to just discount it is what I have a problem, right? You, as a fan base and a community, we have to police ourselves in a lot of ways, right? So for Seattle fans to just say, oh, no, we're holier than thou and this couldn't have happened is wrong, right?
Yeah.
Purely. Like, I know plenty of people that have been accosted in Seattle. It's a thing. So you gotta take into consideration that you can have a shitty fan. B, the fact that the dude choked him for over a minute, like...
That sounds a little
exaggerated, dramatic. But it was probably...
Probably
felt like a minute, right?
10 seconds.
In the moment, that's a long time. Being choked for any amount of time is a long time.
Yeah.
He's lucky they didn't have more friends there that would have knocked the dude out, right? Like, that could escalate very quickly if you've seen in other stadiums. Was it LA, LAFC? The guy had some brawls a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it's just ridiculous that it even happened. But what's more ridiculous is that they're excusing it.
Yeah.
Right? And saying, oh, you shouldn't interrupt our march. Dude, your march takes up the whole damn street. If you have two away fans that don't know what's going on, I don't know, maybe let them know. Someone for a march say, hey.
You may not want to be here right now.
You might want to just wait till this passes. You know, you got to do better. You can't just expect someone to know, oh, you're in Seattle. This is our march. You should just know. You're not that special.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You're not that special.
Well, the other thing, too, like... Somebody came out and was like, well, you should know the stadium policies. You can't bring flags in here. So you're probably just upset that they took your flag and made up the story.
No,
why would you make up a story like
over
this?
A flag. No. Yeah, no.
And hang on. Why is what I want to know? Is it a Utah State flag? Was it a Real Salt Lake flag?
Right.
Why is it a Utah flag? Listen, I'm not making light of the situation. It sucks that this happened to you. I fully believe you that it happened, but the other thing, the other consensus too, are like the other statements that have been made. Oh, well, it's highly photographed and highly videographed. It's like, dude, you're not going to have a camera pointed, especially at a crowd in every single nook and cranny. Yeah. Like, this could happen, and to kind of fall behind that and say, well, there's no video proof,
right,
you're full of crap, like, it's so stupid.
And to just say he's just a passionate fan, he's a passionate fan with anger issues,
passionate
my guy.
Douchebag, dude.
Right. Get those anger issues under control. I'm a passionate fan, and I've never once thought about
choking someone
out because they had a scarf or a flag. You know what I mean? Like,
this is our street.
Yeah.
Stupid, man.
Like, stop watching Green Street Hooligans, right? Stop daydreaming about being in a firm. Get over yourself. Be a normal human. Mr. Seattle.
Yeah. Seattle. Can we do this to the chant for a sec? What do they say?
Seattle Sounders.
Seattle.
They just say it back and forth to each other like it's the most original thing.
Oh, the win and fight is what I'm thinking.
Fight
and win.
Let's be honest.
The Golem fan? Yeah.
Let's be honest. 99% of these chants are stupid for every club.
Yeah.
Nothing's that original or that cool.
Yeah. RSL fan, listen.
I hope you guys are okay, and I hope this doesn't dissuade you from going to away matches.
Because they're not all like that.
No. I've had, honestly, the best experience I've had with away fans, this hurts my soul to say this, Kansas City.
Oh, boy.
I'm not even joking, dude. After the final, they see me and Bean just being depressed in the stands and get us drunk, dude. Like,
they were like, hey, good game, guys.
They brought us down. They have a club, like a nightclub in the stadium.
Oh.
And like bar. It was dope.
That's
so they
cool.
brought us in there with them, like they're celebrating, but they're buying us beers, and we stayed until they brought the cup in with
nice.
Colin. Like, they were great to us.
Yeah.
Right? I hate them on Twitter, and I hate SKC, but like their fans were great, and they'll fully admit that. Other places, not so great. LA, the Galaxy, I've hung out with their supporters groups.
Yeah, they're
four
cool.
games. They're great.
Yeah.
You walk San Jose,
around,
the bro, worst.
When you walk
the absolute worst.
When you walk around the Galaxy lot, it's like, hey, Holmes, what jersey is that for? The Galaxy, hey. You think I'm kidding, man. It's true. To that point, when I went and filmed the... when I went and shot the Western Cup... No. Was it the Western Final? What was the game? Oh, when we knocked him out.
AFC?
No, Seattle.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was there, and I was like filming on the Sounders supporter side. And one of the security guards was like, because I was sitting at my camera, and she's like, oh, where are you from? And this was like before the supporters got in. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm from Utah. I'm like, I'm here filming for KSL, whatever, yada, yada. And she's like, oh, She's like, do not let these guys find out. Like, if they find out, they will, like, it'll get violent and weird. So I'm like, what?
That's so silly. Like, verbal abuse, side. Fine.
Yeah.
Like, we're no different. But to say it's going to get violent, like, yeah. you're going to jump the barricade and beat you up. No, yeah. Get out of here.
Take my camera.
Towards a cameraman.
Get out of here.
Yeah, it's crazy. So
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's a cool stadium. It's probably a cool place to go, but...
It's a football stadium, dude. It's not that cool.
Yeah, that's true. Portland Timbers is definitely my favorite, like, Northwest team.
Yeah.
I take the Timbers way more seriously than I do the Sounders. And I've been to the Timbers Stadium, and those guys are actually pretty hospitable.
Yeah, they're
I was having beers with Timbers fans.
Yeah, they're fine.
Oh, and I love that there's Timbers fans in this thread, like, just calling out the Seattle trash, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All
right.
they're just being high and mighty, dude. Yeah. That's all it is.
Listen, to the guy that choked the poor fan out.
Don't come to Salt Lake. You're not welcome, dude.
Be better.
Yeah.
Be better. Yeah.
Be a better human, bro.
Be better.
And don't come to Salt Lake. You're not welcome.
Yeah. I'm sure he was going to listen to this. Yeah.
I hope he does. I hope he tweets at me and exposes himself. not in that way.
Well, it's not a real...
yeah.
It's not a real person, remember? It never happened.
Oh, yeah, sure.
It's not on camera.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, so frustrating, man. Anyways, yeah, so listen, we took the L. 2-0, but I think the fans, well, that fan took the even bigger L. And the fans that are defending those actions and just being like, well, where's the video proof?
Dude, those are the same fans. Those are the same fans that would come after us for Deloitte and say, you guys need to do better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're high and mighty.
Yeah.
They can't do anything wrong, but everyone else can.
Dude, I hope this like just formulates like a stronger rivalry. You know what I mean? Like, the Rapids, bro, we wrote them off years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I still hate them, but they're nothing to me. They're the little brother.
Yeah.
They're the annoying little brother that like kicks your shins. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, yeah, not the result that we wanted, but Real Salt Lake looking up and forward to the next foe, which is Austin FC, which I think... You know, it could go both ways. You already know what I'm going to say. Fresh off some losses. The fan base. I think the fan base for Austin FC is like kind of in shambles. Like you, when you go on Twitter and you see what they're saying, like they're very confused. They're very lost. So that could maybe be a good sign for us. But also to Josh's point and to Alex's point and to Isaac's point, they might come in and just pull out all the stops and be like, yo, we got to just stop messing around and let's take it to Real Salt Lake.
But at the same time, home opener, hopefully a good crowd. It's probably going to snow. It's going to be a miserable game. They always are the first of the year, right? So that gives us an automatic edge, right?
For sure. RSL doesn't lose with Orange Bowl.
Knock on wood, bro.
Knock on wood. Cool. So how's the squad looking? We got the suspension. Loffelsend will be out.
No, he only got one game.
Oh, yeah,
so he's back for this game.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah, he only got one game, so two. Seattle
only.
He got
appealed pending if he is a good boy for the rest of the year.
What?
Yeah, they might tack, like, if he
tack on
if he starts picking up some stuff or spits on someone.
All right, let's talk about it. So, Loffelsend does a tackle, gets a yellow card. That's it. And then somebody on the Vancouver side gets a better angle or clips an angle of their TV, and it's showing Loffelsend allegedly spitting towards the player that he had tackled.
Yeah.
When I see the video, he spit, but I don't really think he intended on spitting on him. He fouls him, he gets up, he realizes what he did, he went to go check on the player, like helps him up or whatever.
Right, someone that spits on someone's not going to do that.
No.
And that Vancouver player, had he been spit on, is in Jasper's face pissed off. Yeah. That becomes a thing, right? You don't get spit on and don't,
yeah, but don't also, react. But I guess, like, you know, the timing of that, too.
The timing looks horrible. The angle looks horrible. I don't see Jasper as the guy to spit on someone.
Jasper is not, he's not that guy. He's not going to spit on people, bro. He's a class, I think he's a class act.
Yeah, he's no Espinoza. The Spindola would have done it too, let's be real.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he's a great player, respects the league, probably an accident, looks different from what it was.
It's unfortunate.
I'd like to hear from Loffelsend. Maybe someday we'll ask him about it. We'll say, hey dude, are you intentionally spitting on people? Is that what you do?
Right.
Or was it an accident?
Is this the great spit of Seinfeld, right?
Yeah,
with the deflection.
Yeah, right? So, I don't think his character's in question. No. I just think So the bad luck of the draw, bro. You happen to spit at the wrong time. There's cameras everywhere. Just be a little bit more careful.
Unfortunate all the way around.
I had the opportunity to talk to Pablo earlier this week, and he mentioned that immediately after the video surfaced, the first person Jasper called was Dejome, the player he allegedly spit on. Apologized, hashed it out, had a good conversation about it over the phone, and everything was good. And that was part of the appeal. That was part of the appeal to say, hey, we talked about it. It's not intentional. Like, it was no harm meant, like, was meant to be done.
Yeah.
And that was part of the appeal.
Got you. Huh. Interesting. So, let's just go around the room. Is Jasper Lofelson the bad guy, Josh? Yes or no?
What kind of question is that?
No. Is he a bad guy? Does he spit on people?
No.
Alex?
No, not at all.
Isaac?
No.
I would say no. I don't think he's a bad guy. So just just one of those weird things. Footage comes out, and he owned up to it, and he held his peace.
He owned up to he spit, but he didn't say he spit on him.
Yeah,
because he didn't like.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to ask him. I want to ask him that question directly.
I think league precedence says that if any of the spit touches the player, on max suspension.
Sure, which I do understand.
And I think that's why we're even having this conversation, is because just a little bit of it got on DeJoma's cleats. The league found out. The league went off precedence.
But they won't enforce the hands to the face precedent.
Though. That's right. No. And we see it over and over and over and over again in this league where the rules only apply to some players. Am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Am I wrong? It only applies to some players. It only comes down to us and Jasper getting suspended because he's Jasper Lofelson and he's from RSL.
Hey, bro, careful how you talk to the league, okay?
Yeah, dude.
Careful, bro.
And he has to say that because he works for him.
That's it. I'll get off my...
Hey, man, if you believe in what you just said, go watch. There's a documentary on Netflix, I believe. It's about the NBA kind of giving favoritism to the players. It's about a corrupt referee.
Yeah.
But it's true, man. It's your big star players, those are the dudes who are putting the butts in seats, right? So if you're a referee sticking true to those decisions and you're just red carding everybody, well then you're potentially pulling a Carlos Vela, you're pulling a Chicharito away from like a home crowd at the next match. And unfortunately, those are the kinds of players that sell tickets and jerseys. So you gotta, you know, this isn't, I'm nobody. I'm just saying that I think across all leagues, basketball, you know, NBA, hockey, baseball,
the bias is all over.
It's going to be there. You're going to get some flexibility. And in that documentary that I watched, which I would love to just get you guys the name. You guys got to watch it. It's about the dude who was like inside betting. He was a referee in the NBA. It's just a very real thing. Yeah. So it's just going to happen. You know what I mean? So, Jasper, you're not a bad dude, man. Relax. Okay.
Final thoughts on Austin.
Austin FC coming to town. The country of Austin FC, and obviously that's a joke. The country of Austin FC is in shambles right now. The team is not playing well. The citizens of Austin FC are about to jump ship, right? Like, there's plenty of different teams in Texas. Hear me out. The morale is low. Things aren't going well for them. They lost their home opener, right?
They did.
They did.
To St. Louis.
They're a new team, man, and they haven't had to deal with...
The heartbreak
yet. So this is all very new for them.
Yeah, man. So it's just a test of how are they going to come into this game? And are they going to show up? And, you know, honestly, I think the favor is in Real Salt Lake. We play at this altitude. We own the snow. We freaking invented the snow and the altitude in Salt Lake City. We drive through snowstorms. Like, I remember that big snowstorm we had?
Like 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago, bro.
I was digging cars out.
Dude, I dug myself out, got stuck, dug myself out just to go get a coffee at the gas station and come back.
Do you know how to put your Jeep in four-wheel drive?
It was struggling, bro. It was that deep. So, shut up. Shut up, dude. So what I'm saying is, We live on the west side, bro. The last priority, okay? You live on the east side.
Dude.
They come and do yours first,
I had to
first,
be to work
bro.
At 6 a.m. They didn't touch any of this.
All right.
I open my car door and push snow.
Okay, so listen. We're just having a competition about who's more Utah right now.
I think you just didn't put your Jeep in four-wheel drive.
It wasn't four-wheel drive, bro. I got stuck, and then I had to do different modes.
How'd you get stuck? You're higher than me.
I got, dude, the snow out there is crazy.
Maybe you need new tires.
Probably. Anyway, we invented... We're on the same team, Josh.
Yeah, we're on the same team. We invented snow.
We invented the snow.
We both got stuck.
So Austin's going to come here and just... They're going to... Dude, bro, they're going to freeze. And
Driussi's going to hate it.
Driussi's going to hate it because he's used to like his, 80-degree temperature, 100-degree temperature, and we're just ready to roll, dude. So I think my prediction, Real Salt Lake... Cause it's a slippery ball, though.
Yo, slippery. Deflections.
2-0.
See, I'm going 3-2. I guess you'll be a little
closer.
Okay,
all right. Wow. All right, let's go around the board, and we'll wrap this one up. You said 3-2.
Yeah.
I said
RSL
2-0.
In favor.
RSL favor. Alex? Oh, Alex is the voice of reason.
Look. No. And then
he's
going to
say,
listen.
Sounds like LA going, look.
Yeah.
Look.
Bro, you've been hanging around them too long.
Austin's basically the same exact 11 that they had last year. It was a very good 11. But they've started the season off so rough. And I think a lot of it has to do with their backline injuries. They're coming into this one without center backs. They're playing their wing backs as center backs. I think they're in such a funk of being like, the underdog last year. You remember that with Felipe? They're starting off the season really bad. Obviously, they just got embarrassed in the Dominican. I'm going to go RSL 2-1 win.
Wow. You believe, but you don't believe that hard.
I'm going to go 2-1 win.
All right.
I'm going to say 3-0.
I love
3-0.
It.
3-0.
3-0, bro. Because Isaac, who invented the snow, bro?
Salt Lake City, Utah, my boys. We did.
That's right.
RSL actually invented the snow. It never snowed in Utah until RSL was founded.
Oh, wow. In 2005?
Yeah, 2005 was the first snowstorm.
That's the first time I remember it snowing.
Yep. I love this Utah off we're having.
Yeah. Well, dude, I mean, bro, our motto is like Ski Utah.
Yeah.
We got license
plates. The greatest snow on earth.
Greatest snow on earth,
dude.
It is
the greatest snow on earth, though.
What other mottos do we have around snow? Like the best powder in the world?
Greatest snow on earth.
Yeah, same thing.
All right, dude.
I love Tired Andy.
The greatest snow on earth, though, bro, that's just like a play on the greatest show on earth, Barnum and Bailey, the circus.
Yeah, dude, it's the snow is our circus.
Yeah.
We invented the circus.
This is our circus. Real Salt Lake's going to take the win over Austin FC. Thanks for listening.
Woo!
RSL show on KSL Sports. Take it easy. We'll see you guys. Love you. Also, hey, go defend the fan who got choked. Go on Twitter. Go on Instagram. Talk your... air your frustration, vent your frustration towards Seattle, and just tag at Seattle the whole time.
That's right.
Take it easy.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah help.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes!
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.